Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations. The show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. We can book all your Disney travel needs. Contact us at americantouristtravel.com. And it's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to rent any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at David's Vacation Club Rental or DVCRequest.com. And now on with the show.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doc, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, and we're also joined by typing away Bob Sycon. How you doing tonight, Bobby?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
Drinks are on the house tonight. It's our little Main Street Christmas party. Our poor buddy John can't be here, so we'll catch up with him on the news before Christmas so we get to wish him Merry Christmas. But, Dennis, are you having a drink tonight, or are you on your Gatorade?
No, still on the Gatorade. I have probably got a couple weeks left, and things are starting to settle out with my medical issue there. So hopefully the new year I'll be back on the good stuff.
Okay. And Bobby, I know you have something potent over there. What are you chugging on?
I still have some Great Lakes Christmas Ale here, and we haven't run through it all yet. We're getting close to the end of the supply, so I'm going to have to switch over to something else. Hey, Doug, did you see the post that I put out the other day to cover the Sunday show? I put some beer out there for you.
Yeah, I'm surprised you still have a hankering for alcohol after drinking that junk. It must taste better in Nashville than it does in Florida. That's all I got to say.
It actually was surprisingly good. I have to give John credit. He knows his beer.
Man, that tastes like, I don't know, monkey pee to me. It's just nasty stuff.
Well, now I have to be the vote that'll put it one side or the other. I'm going to have to try it. All this talk about the fin de mon there, I'm going to have to try it. I've never had one, and with this back and forth we keep having, I'm going to have to try it and see what it's really all about.
And I want to apologize. I really want to apologize to the monkey. I didn't mean to disparage you like that. I apologize.
You know, it's really fun. You would have been laughing because this was Saturday night, I think. And it's a little bar that's our son and his wife, they walk out their apartment building, they turn to the right and literally can walk probably about 200 yards. And it's a little neighborhood pub that they go to. Really nice people. And we sit down at the bar and I'm looking at the taps and I say, hey, they got La Fin de Mon. And Joseph said, yeah, look at the sign right there. And there was this big, huge sign sitting right next to me on the wall. And I said, so I called a bartender over who's, is kind of a friend of theirs. And I said, I need you to do me a big favor. What's that? I need you to take a picture of the tap. And he said, what? And I said, no, seriously, I need you to take a picture of the tap. And then I need you to pour me a La Fin de Mon. It's for a friend of mine. So see how much effort I went into just to make you happy?
Yeah, it was just to kick me in the head. It wasn't to make me happy. It was to prove me wrong is what it was in your eyes. But I appreciate the picture. The article was great. I just still disagree. Dan, you do have to try this. You got to look up in your local Boston area to find the local establishment that serves this junk. Are you guys there or are neither one of you speaking to me now?
I'm here.
No, I'll definitely either pick some up or, like you said, visit a location. But, I'll definitely weigh in on it. I do like some craft beers, but I don't like the real hoppy ones. Is it a lager, Bob, or what style is it? Do you know?
It's kind of like a, I should look at the picture on the website before I actually quote it, but it's kind of like a very foamy, sort of a cloudy, bronzish type beer.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it was hoppy. It does have a little bit of a unique taste because it is a re-fermented beer, but
is the key word there.
which just means it's a higher alcohol content. But it's not the worst thing I've ever had. I'm not going to say I'm going to run to stand in line to have more, but it's definitely better than whatever it is Doug just called.
All right. Well, I'll weigh in on this in the coming year in 2017, and we'll finally put this issue to rest.
Yeah, well, if you like it, then I'm going to have to rethink the whole thing that's going on around here. That's all I'm saying. I need you on my side, then. So okay. We'll talk off the air.
All right.
So, you guys, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do our ultimate Christmas day down at the parks. So what we're going to do is Disney is – for a change, taking care of us frequent flyers that always go. They're going to give us a magical one day. We can have breakfast wherever we want, lunch wherever we want, dinner wherever we want. We get free. We can get a fast pass for 3 rides, and we can go on these rides anytime, as many times as we want during the day. And we get to stay at any resort we want for the night. So you guys ready for this, or you need a little more time to think about it?
I'm ready to go.
Yep, me too.
So we'll start off with the guest who likes Le Fin de Mont. And I want to start with him very, very loosely. I would start with breakfast here, Bob. Where are you going to go for breakfast to start your day?
Okay, well, I had a whole story here, but let's just assume that I left my resort.
Okay, we'll start off what resort you're staying at. Is that where you wanted to go?
Fine.
We can start resort first. What resort are you going to stay at?
All right. Well, so there were a number. I mean, when you gave me the rules and said that, WDW Main Street was paying the bill, I was tempted by a lot of the deluxe resorts, Grand Floridian, Polynesian. There was a moment there where I was going to try to be sensible and just go to Coronado Springs. We love Crescent Lake, so Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club came to mind. But we're going to actually choose to go and recreate one of our favorite Christmases in Walt Disney World. And it was one that we had years and years ago when our son was still in college, where Mary and myself and he stayed several nights on the concierge level of the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
That sounds beautiful. I love the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and that Christmas tree is awesome there because they have all, like, it's decorated different than any other one because it goes with the whole theme of the, it has a bunch of authentic ornaments on it that are really, really cool. I bet you loved that, didn't you?
No, it's beautiful, and if you're, for those who haven't had the opportunity to go up on club level, if you're down in the lobby and you look towards the end of the building that's over the entrance to the Animal Kingdom Lodge and then look up, you'll see there's a balcony there. That's actually the concierge level. And when you're able to go up there and look down on the lobby, great view of the lobby, great view of the Christmas tree, great view of the decorations. And let me tell you, the amenities in that club lounge are just off the charts.
I can't say enough about the resort. Yeah, and Dennis, I know you feel the same way. We both love that resort. Good call.
Yeah. Yep.
So where are you going, Dennis? Where are you staying tonight? Where are we all staying at? I'll let you go next.
Yeah, I took a kind of a different approach. I know we wanted to tie this into Christmas and all that, which I did do. But my mindset, I'm looking, being from the Northeast, I want to get as far away from snow. And I'm doing that being in Central Florida. But I don't even want to, you know, I did vacillate a little bit and contemplate, maybe doing Wilderness Lodge and recreating the, you know, the Northwest, you know, feel, if you will. But instead, I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to have a Florida vacation and a Christmas vacation, I should say. And in fact, I don't know if you guys have seen the commercial they're running lately on TV, but I think it's for a beer. And it's somewhere down in the tropics, and they just have one palm tree that's lit up with Christmas lights. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that's going to be me, and I'm going to stay at the Beach Club. One of my favorite resorts, and go full throttle and forgetting about the snow and the cold back home, and enjoy myself at the Beach Club.
Now, that sounds really nice, and you can't go wrong with the Crescent Lake area. Bob's a little jealous, but he loves his Animal Kingdom, so he's happy.
Plus, I love shooting over to Epcot, and I can pop right over there and, you know, indulge in food and drink around the world. So that was another reason why I chose Beach Club.
Well, I'm going to be visiting you soon, but you guys are going to think I'm going somewhere different, because I know everybody's thinking I'm going to say Riverside. But I'm going to do something a little different, because they're paying for the night and it's something special. I've always wanted to. I never have. I'm going to take the whole family and we're going to stay in the Treehouse Villas. I mean, they're hard enough to get as it is, and I think it would be awesome to spend, you know, some time in one of them. And it's right down the river from Riverside, so I could head down and see Yeehaw Bob if I want to. But I want to stay in the Treehouse Villas at least once before the big guy takes me. So that's where I want to go.
No, that's a unique, you know, building or buildings. And, you know, they are very popular. You're right, Doug. And that would be an awesome way to spend a Christmas vacation down there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it would be cool with the family at the end of the day to go outside. And I'm not using the expression. I'm literally saying at the end of the day to all hang out. You know, to go out on the balcony, have a couple drinks, and you could actually feel like you're by yourself there, if you know, just you and the family, but you're still in the Disney bubble. So that's the reason why. It was between that and the Poly, staying at one of those bungalows. But the Treehouse Villas, I want to stay there more than the bungalows. So that's where we would
say. I decided not to take the bungalows because you said you were paying and I was trying to take it easy on you.
I said Disney was paying. I said nothing about me, brother. Yeah, this is Disney giving us all a free our dream Christmas, you know, vacation.
Well, plus, and we'll see as we go forward what you chose for your dining, you know, locations. You know, being at the Treehouses, you get Disney Springs right at your doorstep there. So we'll see if you took advantage of that or not.
In one way, yes, I'm going to.
Okay.
But not all the way. I'm going to be all over the place, and I'm not using Disney Express transportation. I'm taking my own darn car. I'm not giving you your $24, Disney.
Hey, if they're going to put you in the bungalows or the treehouses, you might as well just talk them into giving you a private limousine.
Yeah, they're going to take me around. You're right, Bob. We're dreaming here. So anyway, where are you going to breakfast at, Bob?
Okay, so a number of thoughts crossed my mind. Since we were staying in the Animal Kingdom Lodge, I was very tempted by Boma. Boma's breakfast buffet is phenomenal. But we're actually going to hop on a bus over to Hollywood Studios and take our wonderful walk over to the boardwalk, because we just love the Crescent Lake area. And we're going to visit Trattoria El Forno for either their frittata or their poached eggs. One of my favorite breakfasts on property.
Yeah, you've said that many a times. I got to pop in there and try that, actually. I forget about it all the time. It's one of those restaurants until you mention it again, and then it pops back into my head. Do you agree with me there, Den? Do you forget about that place sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, we keep it. It's more in our forefront of our mind because we have eaten dinner there once when it first opened, but we have not yet gotten over there for the breakfast, like Bob just said, and that's on our living list. Absolutely.
Very good, Den, with the living list. I'm proud of you, buddy. You're doing a good job. No, but that does sound good, Bobby. I mean, there are some good things on this. I wonder how the vanilla blueberry steel-cut oatmeal would be. My wife would probably like that. You guys, either one of you is oatmeal fans?
Mary has had that oatmeal both times we've gone there for breakfast, and she loves it.
Yeah, either one of you is like oatmeal?
I don't really love it, but I eat it occasionally because it's good for you, so that's how I put it. I don't eat it as much as I should, but I do eat it occasionally.
I only eat it when I'm told I have to.
See, that's where I'm headed to, Bob. I'm getting into that mode. The thing that really interests me on this menu, in a way, is the cured Italian meats with tomato, hard-boiled eggs, and cheeses with fonduta. It's called F-O-N-D-U-T-A, fonduta. I wonder how that would be. I mean, it's an authentic Italian breakfast.
Do you really think that Mrs. Main Street will let you have that?
No, but I'd like to try it. I mean, I would probably end up with the scrambled eggs with breakfast potatoes. You know what I'm saying? But that does sound like that. This is the things I like about the Disney restaurants, though, that you get these different offerings is what I really enjoy to try when I'm on vacation.
Oh, yeah, and it's like anything else. And, you know, you can eat healthy if you want, or you can go for the, like you said, the breakfast platter. And, you know, as with all things in life, a balance is the way to go. But, you know, believe it or not, I mean, you can laugh. But, I mean, I've gone in the vacations and gotten the bounty platter or the, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row. And by the fourth day, I want something like fruit or oatmeal or something else. And, you know, so I'll switch it up and, you know, eat a little healthier for a day or two and then, you know, maybe grab a breakfast platter, last breakfast out before heading home. I don't know if you guys run into that at all, but
I do. I grab frittatas and I grab different wraps and stuff like that to try different things. The thing I do like is they have that on this menu too, is because I don't eat any other place but Disney World. Every once in a while I will get the breakfast pizza. Have you guys ever tried them?
Yeah, I've had a few of them. Yeah, they're very good, actually. Yep.
Yeah, it's something different that you don't eat every day in your regular life, but when you're on vacation, you can, you know, try that. Have you ever had a breakfast pizza, Bob?
I'm not at Disney, but yes, I have had it in the past.
See, I've never had it anywhere else but Disney, so that's funny. Where are you going to breakfast, Denny?
Yes, breakfast. I'm going to take a different approach here. This is something I haven't done and have wanted to do, and I think it'll tie in good to the Christmas theme. So I'm going to head over to the House of Blues and do the gospel brunch.
Oh, listen to you all.
Get a little religion in me.
Yeah, being all religious and
junk. Yeah. You know, but and seriously, that's something I've wanted to do. And, you know, I thought about, you know, not doing it because it's a brunch and then, you know, I still got to get lunch and dinner in. But seeing how this is truly fantasy, I'm not going to worry about what time it is or how much food it is in this case. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy a dinner show, a.k.a. a breakfast show in this case, and, you know, enjoy some. I've heard good things about the food You know, I don't know a lot of people that have gone to this, but the people that have spoken very highly of it. So I'm going to hope that the entertainment is as good as it's advertised and that the food is as good as advertised as well. And we're going to have a spiritual gospel breakfast over there at the House of Blues.
Yeah, they have a lot of things on the menu. They have fresh pastries, croissants, muffins, cinnamon bun. You had all kind of fruit, biscuits. Scrambled eggs, chicken and waffles, bacon, sausage. You know, they have smoked catfish, potato salad, macaroni and cheese. You can go from breakfast to dessert, roasted garlic, potatoes, banana bread pudding. I mean, you're going to leave here with your feed bag on, let me tell you. And I only just read probably a tenth of the menu. Holy moly.
Yeah, I think we actually did a dining review where we talked about this in depth a while back, as I recall. So, and I remember it was pretty expansive. So I'll be looking forward to that. And what about yourself? Where are you heading?
Me, I'm actually going to go back to where I was on this last trip because I want to take Brenda there. And I'm actually going to head to the Captain's Grill. I really enjoyed that breakfast. I kind of want to start to make it a tradition now. I have really enjoyed my time there. The waitress was awesome. I hope I get her again. But I really enjoyed my we love to go to Epcot, so I love the idea of starting the day off here at the Yacht Beach Club and the Captain's Grill. And their breakfast was phenomenal. The service was awesome, and I love the atmosphere in there. So I'm hoping to make this a tradition, like at least once or twice a trip to start the day off with breakfast here. And I know both of you have had breakfast at the Captain's Grill, right?
Oh, many, many times. And that's a good way to look at it, Doug, because it's kind of on your way anyway. So it's not like you're going to be wasting time. You'd be heading that way to go to Epcot anyway, so it'd be perfect.
And this way I can park there without trouble.
Yeah, we've been there for both the buffet and a la carte menu, and it is one of our favorite places. It did cross my mind potentially to be my choice for this little fun exercise, but that restaurant in and of itself, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, in my mind's one of the hidden gems of Walt Disney World.
Oh, it's a wonderful place, and yeah, I'll do my normal thing, my two eggs over medium well, with my bacon, and I'm good to go with my hash browns. It's a perfect way to start the day, and then I can do a nice stroll over to Epcot and do one of the rides that I'm going to pick for the day as many times as I want to do. So it puts me in the vicinity. So where are you headed? No. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say that just one more point on Captain's Grill. I mean, it's kind of off the beaten path. I mean, it's not fancy, but it's, in its location, it's kind of tucked away over there. I don't know. It seems a little less hectic than some of the other locations for breakfast on Disney World property, even, in the resorts themselves. So, for that reason, I think that the fact that the food's so good and it's kind of laid back and low key, bumps it up a few marks in my book anyways.
Oh, it's like so much bigger in there than you think it is when you're waiting outside to get in there.
It's deceiving. You're absolutely right. There's more tables in there than you would think there would be looking at it from the outside.
And what I do like about the tables in there, as many as there are, they're spaced apart nice. You don't feel like you're on top of each other as you do in a lot of places. It's a very, like I said, it's going to become tradition for me to eat here at least once every trip, if not twice, because I really don't. I mean, if you really think about it, like me, my godson and my brother-in-law talked about, you get the two eggs, the roasted potatoes with your choice of bacon and sausage and biscuit for $12. For $2 more than a bounty platter, you're getting served, and it's cooked fresh right in front of you.
Yep.
I mean, like not in front of you, but you're getting served it fresh to order, if you follow me. And it's so much better than just grabbing it at one of the food courts.
Sure. The food courts, we all know they serve their purpose and that, they're great and we all love them. But if you want to, bump it up a little bit, like you said, for not a lot more money and have a little atmosphere and a little quiet time and kind of start your day less hectic than you would if you were at the food court, it's a great option.
It's quieter. It's more relaxing. Like you're sitting with your wife, you get as many coffee, you get your next coffee. You don't have to worry about getting up and going to grab another one. And like you said, then when it's all said and done, it might cost you an extra $10 to be served.
Right.
And on vacation, that ain't nothing really.
Right. No, absolutely. Like I said, we discovered it years ago and we're there. I don't think we've taken a trip, since then, that first time that we haven't gotten over there. It is a tradition for us. We just love it.
Yeah, my godson, on the last trip, he got that fried egg sandwich with the Serrano ham, aged Parmesan, tomato, onion, marmalade, and seasonal arugula with roasted potatoes. It was $12. That sandwich was awesome. I mean, I was like ready to tell the kid to go grab me something so I could take a couple bites out of it because it looked good. So, I mean, everything there was good. You got lemon ricotta pancakes. I mean, that would be cool to try.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nothing I've ever heard of, but it does sound intriguing, that's for sure.
And I bet you it's darn good. It's just things like that that you get these different offerings that you don't get at the food court. And again, for $12, anything at a food court for breakfast is pretty much 10. Don't you agree, Bob?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's phenomenal breakfast.
Yeah, sometimes I think when it's all said and done, you feel like you got more for your money when you're getting served for the extra $2, if that makes sense to you. it makes it more of an event than it does just grabbing something to eat. So right. That's what I like about going out to breakfast like that.
And plus, you know, if you go over for lunch or dinner, it's the home of Bob's favorite braised short ribs that he says are, you know.
Don't tell anybody that it's there.
Some of the best on property, or in his opinion, the best on property.
No, I give it high marks. So where are you going for lunch, Bob?
All right, so we're over at the boardwalk at Trattoria El Forno. So we're going to hop on a bus to Disney Springs, the home of some of the best restaurants on property and the best new restaurants on property. And we're going to, since we've had breakfast and we know we're going to have a big dinner later, we're going to eat a little bit on the lighter side for lunch. And we're going to go to what we think is one of the best, if not the best restaurant on property, the Boathouse, for some firecracker shrimp.
That sounds really good. And you want to know something, not to cut in, but that's where we'll probably all eat lunch together, because that's where I was headed for lunch. So we can have our lunch together there and have a great time. Were you headed there for lunch then?
No. Actually, I was, I'm going to be downtown. I'll be at the Springs with you guys, but I'm actually going to another location. Do you want me to disclose it now, or?
Yeah, you can. And okay, me and Bob will back bounce to the Boathouse when I announce my.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to eat on a boat too, but not at the Boathouse. I'm going to try the newly opened paddlefish and see how that is for breakfast.
I mean, for lunch, you mean?
For lunch, excuse me.
Yeah, we'll let you go. Is it open for then? Is it?
I say it's open. This is my fantasy, so it's open.
Okay, so you're headed over to the paddlefish. I would talk about the menu, but I don't have it in front of me.
Right, right. And that's fine.
You do realize that it's only 5 days from Christmas, right?
Yes, I do. No, but I'm thinking about this, and I realize that technically it's not open yet, but it's a restaurant that, you know, we ate at years ago when it was Fulton's and haven't been back since. And I'm excited to see all the new, newly renovated seating and outdoor seating and all that. And, you know, I too would enjoy the Boathouse, and I just might enjoy it for another meal in this exercise. But at least for this lunchtime, we're heading to paddlefish.
Well, you're going to head to paddlefish, and then we'll come drag you over to have a couple appetizers with us at the Boathouse. How's that sound, then?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I'm there.
No. I mean, I'll tell you what. That's where we're headed to the Boathouse. So Bob, Mary, and Brenda, we're going to have a good time. And I'm going to order one of your firecracker shrimp with you, Bob. But I'm also going to get into some of these. I mean, there's so many things on this menu that are good that, I mean, I want the grilled fish tacos, the jumbo lump crab cakes. So we'll get them. We'll get the crab cakes. We'll get the firecracker shrimp. We'll get the full rack of pork rack ribs. We're going to have some fun over here, Bob. Does this sound good to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Boathouse is a phenomenal restaurant. I mean, it's not just the firecracker shrimp or the food that brings us back time and time again. It's the theming of the restaurant. People, you could walk out back behind the restaurant. There's a sort of a gangway to a bar that's out on the water. It's right near there, you'll see all measures of different boats that you know, from different, you know, generations that they've got on display. I mean, so much, you know, time, effort, and expense went into building that restaurant and theming that restaurant. It's just that they've done a beautiful job. The firecracker shrimp, in my mind, is just a bonus to the actual decor and ambiance of the restaurant.
And also, Bob, and I know you know this, you can actually rent some of those boats. They have several different wooden boats that you can, I don't know the technical names of them, Boston Whalers and different other boats that they have there. But you can take a half-hour tour and zip up and down the waterway out by the studios and stuff like that. And I too agree with you, and we did this. We arrived, I don't know, 45 minutes early for our reservation the last time we ate there, and I strongly recommend partaking in the floating bar out there in the water. It's nice on a even on a hot day. It's under cover, so you have shade, and there's a little bit of a breeze out there, and it's just an awesome atmosphere to be out there. And maybe while you're waiting for your table to be ready, you can, you know, grab a beer or wine or whatever, and take in the sights and sounds of the springs on the waterway there before you have your dinner.
Yeah, I think one of the things I would like to try here, and I haven't, but I would like to, the filet mignon sliders. I'd like to get an order of filet mignon sliders and the firecracker shrimp. I think that would be a good little combination.
A little surf and turf going there.
What do you think about Bobby?
For me, I have to be honest with you. I get kind of one dimensional when we go to the boathouse. We'll have a couple beers, and if we were going to stay there any more than an appetizer, I'd probably get the firecracker shrimp for an appetizer, and then a firecracker shrimp for lunch. It's really good, folks.
Yeah, well, the filet mignon sliders, they're only $14. I would really like that. That sounds like a good deal, and they look good. Now, the lobster roll looks good, but it better be really good for $29. You know, lobster roll in order, like they throw in the French fries. Now, that better be the best lobster roll you ever had for $29, because it don't look right. That big.
Well, and that was the thing that we all hemmed and hawed over when this menu first came out before any of us had eaten there. I mean, this definitely was on the high end of the scale, at least from a monetary perspective. This isn't a place you're going to go and expect to find too many bargains. I'm not looking at the picture of the lobster roll, but I know we got the, I think it was the crab, the lobster that was stuffed with crab or something like that. And it was awesome, but I forget what we paid, but it was up there. But I mean, it was delicious. And we did start off as with an app, with the firecracker shrimp at Bob's recommendation, because I think he beat us there, or they beat us there by a couple of weeks when it first opened. So, I can only speak to the two items that I had.
What did you have? What did you have? The baked crab stuffed lobster?
Yes, that's exactly.
It was $48, and it looks really good.
Oh, it was. I had that, and my son-in-law also had that, and he still raves about that meal. And we're both from New England up here, and you know how we are with our seafood.
You're a snob.
Yeah, it was good. It was well worth it. But you're not going to find many bargains here, but it's still a great, great restaurant.
See, we get some good fish around here too. I'm in between New England and Maryland, so I have real good fish around here. But if we get fish from up your way, New England, Maine, and there, and we also get a lot up from Maryland. So we eat pretty good too, and we have our own little fisheries here on the Jersey Shore. So I love fish. So I cannot wait to get to the boathouse for lunch. I'm going to put my feed bag on. So now that we've eaten all this food, but we got magical stomachs. So where are we going to go put our feed bags on for dinner? Where are you going, Bobby?
All right. So very tempted again, because we're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge by Boma. It's one of our favorite buffets on property. Thought about Cape May Cafe, because I'm thinking of places that I know we enjoy, or at least I enjoy. Thought about Rose and Crown for bangers and mash, but
too cheap when they're buying.
Dennis?
Yes.
Do you know where the best meal on property is?
No.
Captain's Grill, my favorite meal on property, Cabernet braised short rib with creamy sweet corn risotto.
No wonder why you gave me a hard time.
Best meal on property. That's my dinner.
Wow. For as much food as you eat or have eaten down there, Bob, that really does say a lot. And I mean that. I mean, you're one of the few guys I know that has been there so many times, and particularly for all these culinary events and stuff. And for you to say that, that should impress a lot of people.
I honestly mean it when I say I think Captain's Grill might be one of the best kept secrets on property. It's very, very rarely, even if we I mean, there's often times for breakfast we'll drive over to the yacht club and I'll make an ADR while we're sitting in the car. Just so I don't have to worry about the parking. And right. We'll go in, we'll have breakfast, and we'll enjoy Crescent Lake, and then we'll head out. We had it last year at Christmas time. We went to Captain's Grill. I had the braised short rib. It really, I mean, if for some reason at some point Disney decides to retheme Captain's Grill or change the menu at Captain's Grill, and this dish goes away, it definitely gets into my Hall of Fame.
Now, how is the how do you like the corn risotto?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's such a unique thing. It's basically a creamy sweet corn, if you think about like a cream sweet corn, but mix it with the risotto. I mean, as a risotto, the Cabernet Braised short rib sits right on top of the better risotto. It's just the tastes together are just outstanding.
And see, I'm not going to rant on this show because we're getting everything for free, so it's a happy place. I did put a little dig into the express transportation, which I apologize for. I'm sorry, Santa. Please
forgive me.
You
lost your mind for a minute.
Please forgive me, Santa. But again, this is where we talk about when I go back and forth and I will get on my high horse and complain. But when you think about the Yacht and Beach Club, and I know I say Lovey and Biff and all this other stuff, I joke around, you know, but the prices here at the Captain's Grill are not that bad. I mean, those braised short ribs are only $27, Bob, which ain't bad. You get snow crab legs for $31. I mean, lump crab cakes, you know, for $29. I mean, a meal. New York strip for $33. Those prices aren't crazy. What do you think, Dan?
No, that's right. I mean, you can go. I'm trying.
And it's a beautiful place.
What's the name of the restaurant just down the way from the Captain's Grill, the high-end restaurant, the steakhouse there?
Yachtsman Steakhouse. And right. I've got to be honest with you. I've had we went there a couple of years ago where on one night we went to California Grill, and I had a filet at Cali Grill, watched the fireworks. It was a tremendous dinner. I mean, like you, Dennis, our family has some fond memories of Cali Grill. Time that we spent with our son, some of his friends, his wife now. But we went to California Grill. I had the filet. The very next night, Mary and I met some friends at Captain's Grill, and I had the braised short rib, and I honestly liked it better than California Grill's filet.
Yeah, no, I remember you saying that. We had you on the show and you shared that story. And I don't doubt that one bit. And to your point, Doug, the prices are very reasonable. I mean, I would, you know, it's kind of a tweener restaurant. It's certainly not a, the fine dining. It's not a Gigo or a Cali Grill or something like that.
But it is beautiful in there and you are taken care of. It's a nice place. Yeah. I mean, it isn't like how can I put it? It's elegant in there. I really enjoy the whole atmosphere of that place. And yeah, I only ate there for breakfast. I'd love to see it at night.
Yeah. I mean, as you would imagine, it's themed. It's got the nautical theme going. A lot of ships and knots on, pictures of knots and different, boats and stuff. Just like the yacht club particularly is, themed too. And it's very, it's a very beautiful place, no doubt.
No, I give it high marks, and I'm looking forward again to – I'm going to probably try dinner here, too, on one of these next few trips, even though there's 8,000 places we want to.
Right.
But the thing of it is if you get this kind of food for these – and, again, it's not cheap, but it's reasonable. It's what I pay. I mean, I'll pay $30 for a steak at Stinkin' Applebee's. That's horrible.
Right. So for Disney, for Disney, it's reasonable, is what you're saying. I mean, it's all in context, but I mean, compared to, like I said, if you were to go to the Yachtsman Steakhouse, you're going to pay maybe twice that for some entrees, and I don't think that the food's twice as good, and in some cases, not near as good. So I would agree with that. I mean, we've eaten at the Yachtsman a couple of times, and it was good. I'm not saying it wasn't, but it didn't blow me out of the water like some of the dishes. At the Captain's Grill or even other restaurants.
Now, have you had the braised short ribs yet?
I have not.
Well, you got to wait then. You might blow out of the water from them.
Maybe.
I agree with what Dennis has said, though. Mary and I have been to Yachtsman, and it's a beautiful restaurant, and we probably should go back and give it a second try. But, you know, we walked away just sort of with, okay, so-so as an experience, and we've truthfully only been there the one time. I know it's a tremendously popular restaurant, and you know, don't want to, you know, get anybody riled up.
You don't
want to
disparage it at all.
It's there's better places, I think, on property even to have a steak. I mean, to be honest with you, we've also been to Shula's. Phenomenal filet mignon, much better than what I got at California Grill, Yachtsman, or I would even say even better than Le Cellier.
See, now, I mean, and that's awesome. I've eaten at Shula's because we've been in the Swan and Dolphin a few times. And I do like, and this is flavors, and because they're both tender. I prefer the Le Cellier filet. And Le Cellier is still still my favorite steak on property. It just, the restaurant itself has PO'd me. It isn't the food, it's the restaurant, like the atmosphere. Like I said, trying to expedite you. Like I said, they got a little full of themselves. But still, for me, it's the best steak. But it's like apples and oranges, Bob. It comes down to your flavors. And I could see how you could like Shula's better if you follow me. It just, I don't. But if you told me today I could go eat at any of them, I'd be happy. I would not be unhappy. Do you agree with me there?
I do. I mean, I've heard a lot of dining polls and different programs or podcasts, you know, other than ours, that Shula's, when they include the Swan and Dolphin restaurants in the polling, Shula's always does very, very well. It comes down to, you know, and I'm in this mode. A lot of people just never take the time to go over there, or they just, you know, always stay at a Disney resort and not at the Swan and Dolphin. So they never eat there. So they never have that experience to be able to compare it. So, you know, I should get over there. And like I said, I've only heard, you know, great things about it. And what is it? I think there's a dozen or so restaurants between the two resorts there that are over there.
Yeah, there's tons of them. I mean, yeah. Shula's, Blue Zoo. We've been to Blue Zoo in the Dolphin a couple of times. There's a couple over in the Swan that we haven't tried yet. Kimono's.
The restaurants in the Swan and Dolphin are awesome. They're all. I've never heard a bad thing about any of them, and I've eaten at quite a few of them. So
that's true. That's true. And they do their own little food and wine now, as we all know. And another place we haven't been able to get to. Yeah. Or chose not to go to, yeah, just because there's so much going on elsewhere. But I'd like to do that someday, too, get over to that food and wine weekend that they do.
Yeah, they're world-class restaurants over there, and they're redoing both those resorts right now. So we got to get our butts back over there. I mean, I'm not opposed to staying there again. I've stayed there, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, and I'm up for it again. I love the resorts. I really do. I mean, I have no problem with them. I think they're beautiful. Yeah.
And their boat launch is covered, Doug.
Exactly. It is. And I've said that before. Thank you for reminding me.
Yes. Unlike what do you call it?
The worst one is the boardwalk. It's like a tin. Go get burnt out there on the tin. I mean, don't you think they would have a better area for you to wait for the boat there, Bob? You got to agree with that. It's probably the worst waiting area of any waiting area on property. Would you disagree with that?
Could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Could you please rant some more?
It's like they say, go ahead and walk out to here. There's a frying pan out in the middle of the water. We want you to stand in for about 20 minutes waiting for this boat to come by.
Exactly. Stand on this stainless steel frying pan out here in the water in the summer. But do you not think they could give you a better waiting area at the boardwalk than even the Yacht Beach Club has that little jetty that you walk out. Looks a little bit better, but both of them should be covered, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, people are out in the sun, and, you know, as long as they're not having to wait too long for a boat, I guess I can understand that it's not covered. But you know,
what if it's raining? What if it's raining?
They call them umbrellas.
Exactly, but no, you're on vacation. You're usually you don't carry. You don't have. You know what I'm saying? You don't always have the umbrella for. You could walk out in Florida and it'd be sunny, and next thing you know, it's pouring on you. I just think it's pretty weak that they don't have an awning or something for those two resorts to stand under.
You're making me very happy. You got a nice little mini ramp going on. Guys, it just occurred to me, I'm going to have some T-shirts made. It's going to be ranting is ratings.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. But usually when I rant about it, I'm usually right. Nobody could do it. Am I wrong? I'm usually right. But do you disagree with me, Bob, about that? That they could do a little better boat launch area?
No, I you know, like I said, I mean, as long
you
as
got one meeting, bench there.
Let me put it this way: could you live without an awning or a covering if they'd instead put the money into more friendship boats?
Yeah, as long as they don't charge me for the express friendship boat, I'm okay.
Right, and I think the fact that the Swan and Dolphin do such a good job with their boat launch area that it makes it even worse. If theirs wasn't covered either, it probably wouldn't be an issue. But you see what could be done if they just put a little effort into it, and then you see what Disney has done, and it's such a drastic difference.
Yeah, because the thing that cracks you up is at International Gateway, you have the cover there. You have a waiting area. You know what I'm saying? Down at that area where you walk onto the boat. There's a waiting area there. The two of your most prime resorts have nothing there. And then you go over to the Swan and Dolphin. It looks like the Taj Mahal of waiting area. I mean, that canopy runs, what would you say, 100 feet?
Yeah, it's all wrought iron and fancy, scrolling on the ironwork and all kinds of stuff. And like you said, you go over to Disney and it's a piece of tinfoil stuck out into the water.
Exactly. I mean, it covers you, so you're covered between the two resorts. You can walk between the two without being out in the sun at all, hardly. I don't know. So where are you going to dinner, Bob, before I continue to yakety yak over here? You're going to Cap's. I mean, Den, where are you going to dinner, buddy? I got all fired up. I went back to Bob to go over to get his braised
short
rib.
This is going to be short because we covered at lunch for where I'm going. I'm heading to the boathouse for dinner. Paddlefish for lunch and then finish my eating off of the day over at the boathouse and get my crab stuffed lobster and all that good stuff we talked about before.
So you're good to go with the boathouse.
Yep.
You can see you can't go wrong with the boathouse, guys. I mean, I think next trip we all need to meet up at the boathouse and have a good time there.
Absolutely.
Count me in.
Yeah, and I was thinking while we were discussing the boathouse, I know we brought up on our last show how we were pleased with the fact that the Disney resorts and what's the location? They started doing specific merchandise and what was it? We were talking about it that they now have. I know the resorts are doing it, but there was an attraction or something that was doing it. I'll think of it down the road. But I think Bob brought this point up when we discussed it. The Boathouse has an awesome store with all kinds of T-shirts and mugs and shot glasses and anything else you could think of. It's a pretty sizable store, too, that if you're, want to get a souvenir that's kind of Walt Disney World related, although it's branded, Boathouse. There's some great stuff in that store.
Nah, dude, we're going to have a great time. Next trip, all of us at the boathouse. And I don't know if we'll do the amphibian cars, but we're going to get wrecked and have some bangers and mash. The firecracker shrimp. I'm in.
Well, maybe we can all pitch in and we'll rent one of those cigar boats and go out for a cruise or something, the six of us.
Oh, yeah.
Just as long as Doug doesn't drive.
Well, I'm a good driver. I know how to. I have my boating license, just so you know. I grew up on
boats. But you just said you're going to get wrecked. You're not driving.
No, I drive better that way on the boat. Not in a car, but on the boat. No, I'm kidding. No, but we'll have a good time. I love the boathouse. And those cars are cool. I want to get in the amphibious cars.
Right, but with the captain. Yeah, with the captain, though, it only takes, what, two additional passengers, I think?
Yeah,
so
they are small. We need a bigger one.
You know what we do then? We get two of them,
Well, Disney's giving them to us, so.
Oh, great. Captain in each one, Dennis and I in one, and Doug and John in the other. We'll have dueling boats.
There you go.
I'm in. So where I'm headed to dinner, guys, is a place that I loved the last time I was at. I'm a little upset that they got rid of my the potato-crusted red snapper, but I'm going to head over to the Flying Fish, being Disney's paying for it, and I want to try this place with the new menu. I'm looking forward to getting their blue crab, the bisque soup. Do you like crab bisque soup, guys?
I don't think I've ever had that, to be honest with you, but I like seafood, and it sounds like something I could get down.
Yeah, you would really enjoy it then. It's really good. And then I'm going to be I don't know what I'm going to get. I'm between the Verlasso salmon and the plant-seared Hokkaido scallops. I'm up in the air between, but I'll probably get both because Disney's paying for them. But I'm really dying to try this restaurant. It is very pricey, but I am dying to try it.
See, and as you guys know, when we went to Trattoria El Forno for the first time for dinner, I started that article off on All In WDW with a little bit of a critique of the fact that Flying Fish was healthily priced. Because I saw the picture on Disney's website of those scallops, Doug, and I was really intrigued by them. So I asked the question, you know, how many scallops do you get? Because
four.
You know, scallops, yeah, well, see, and that was the thing. The picture looks like three, so it was three to four. And I think if I remember correctly at the time I wrote the piece, it was like a $45 dish.
46.
$46 dish. I just couldn't mentally justify spending $46 on three or four scallops.
Well, it all depends on the scallops. Like, we went to Gordon Ramsay this a couple weeks ago, and we're going to do a report on that on the website. But the size of the scallops at Gordon Ramsay's they look like sliders. That's how big they were. So if they're that big, Bob, then they'd be worth it. But if they're little smaller ones, then I get $46 is a lot of money. So they better be on the bigger side. I think you agree with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what is the deal there? Now, there's sea scallops, and then there's the bigger scallops. Sometimes they're the it's a type of fish that they cut the scallop out of
the shark. They tell you it's a shark fin.
Right, so you got to be careful. I doubt if at Gordon Ramsay's that's
no,
the case. But
no,
you know
it's
what
the
I'm
bay
talking
scallops
about,
that are, you know, right. It's the sea and the bay scallops.
Bigger isn't always better when it comes to scallops, especially if it's not a true scallop.
No, but these guys, you can tell. I can tell within two bites what it is, to be honest with you. And if I'm paying $46 and they're giving me the knockoffs, somebody's going to get what for. But the prices are high here. The Wago Filet Mignon is $55. I mean, it does look phenomenal, and it's on Disney's budget. So this is the reason why I would like to go here. The other thing that looks good, too, is the wood-fired carbonado prawn, sea bass, and Key West shrimp. That looks very, very good. And that's $44. But I really do want to try this restaurant. I know you do eventually, Bob, want to try it here.
I will go back to how you started your presentation of your dinner, Doug. The other thing that I did not like, other than the fact that I just felt it was overpriced, was the fact that they didn't keep the potato wrap.
That snapper was God, so good.
I only got the opportunity to have it once. I mean, I wouldn't say that I feel so strongly about it that I'd put it into the Hall of Fame, as it were. There's only two things in the Hall of Fame so far for All In WDW. But at the end of the day, it was a really, really good dish. And
it was close, Bob, in my opinion, mine. I mean, it was that good.
I mean, that was a knockout punch for me, though. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm going to go to a restaurant – you know, I wouldn't have expected it would be $45, but if it was $29, $32, $36, I may have still gotten it because it was just so good the first time. And it is a beautiful restaurant, and our experience there was wonderful. If you go there, see if you can get a table at the chef's counter, I mean, or at least a seat at the chef's counter. It was a really fun experience, but we were disappointed that you know, after the refurbishment, that they had changed the menu so much. Maybe at some point in the future, they'll bring that snapper back. If they do, then we will probably stop it.
Nah, I want to try it regardless, but I get what you're saying. It would kind of be like if Le Cellier took the filet off the menu. You know, and because it's, or Rose and Crown did away with bangers and mash. It would be like in that.
Or for me, Captain's Grill did away with the braised short rib. I mean, it's some dishes are just so good that omitting them from the menu kind of makes it just such a different experience that you kind of go away and say, all right, look at all the restaurants that we've talked about, and we haven't even scratched the surface of what's available in Walt Disney World.
Oh, no.
At the end of the day, Captain's Grill, if they were, heaven forbid, take the braised short rib off of their menu, I don't really see a strong need to go to Captain's Grill anymore. I'll go find another restaurant.
Right. And we've seen this trend, and I guess I understand it, but I think something should supersede it. The fact that when these chefs, these head chefs kind of, you know, go to a different restaurant or a location, they tend to want to, you know, put their stamp on a particular restaurant. And as good as any dishes that are existing are, they would rather bring in their own dishes and make a name for him or herself at the new venue. So that's how we end up losing some of our favorite dishes. I've seen that happen quite a bit when chefs, you know, take over a new restaurant.
No, I'm definitely going to try this, but I did like the slider. I mean, the snapper, but I do want to try the place too, because I mean, everything I've heard about this place, I haven't seen a bad review yet though, Bob. And I've read about it pretty intensively since it reopened. And I haven't seen a bad review on it yet, buddy. So I'm looking forward to trying it. So what rides are you going to do, Bob? We're going to start off. Give me a ride, one of your three rides that you're going to ride that you can get on whenever you want during the day.
All right, so just one of them, or do you want all three?
Give me all three, and then I'll go to Dennis and get his, and then I'll give you the ones that you should have picked.
this is like a table service vote.
But okay, Rose and Crown won. I was finally right.
Hey, yeah, you know, we never did get a chance to talk about that. We got to come back to that because I wasn't on Sunday's show.
Right.
I've been studying some of the voting results, and it's very peculiar.
Uh-oh.
How is that
okay,
possible?
So let's go to the attractions. I'll let you on that a little bit. So you want all three of them, right?
Yes.
All right. So I tried to be fair and to myself, as it were, when I reviewed my choices with Mrs. All in WDW, she told me that I was all wrong. But so I tried to pick one attraction from each of three parks. Now, oddly, the park that got squeezed out of my list was Magic Kingdom, but that's a different story. So the three that I chose that if I had a
unlimited you can go on as many times as you want on all three.
All right, so these are the three attractions: Rock and Roller Coaster,
okay,
Kilimanjaro Safaris, and Illuminations.
You're going to watch Illuminations as many times as you want.
That's right.
Okay. I was going to end my night with that after I did all my rides, but I get where you're coming from. And Kilimanjaro Safari, Bob, when you do finally get this, make sure you do try that at night. I know you haven't done that yet, and you must do it.
Not at night, but it definitely when we run and we're due to start running the attractions polls, you know, pretty soon now at all, you know, for WDW Main Street and all in WDW, Kilimanjaro Safaris is my absolute favorite Animal Kingdom attraction. I love Expedition Everest, but nothing says Animal Kingdom to me, at least, than the safaris. And I could just ride that over and over and over again. And Rock and Roller Coaster, I have ridden it over and over and over again. So those three with Illuminations. I mean, there were so many I could have put on this list.
Oh, absolutely.
Spaceship Earth, Pirates of the Caribbean, Peter Pan, some of the traditional ones over in Magic Kingdom. But if I had to cut it down to three, I had to be fair to myself, and those are the three that I love the most from Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Epcot.
Well, I will tell you this before I go to Dennis. The Kilimanjaro Safari ride at night that we did on the last trip, besides the memories of being on there with my dad and all that stuff, but for the actual ride, it was 10 times better the last trip at night than any trip I had ever taken on Kilimanjaro Safari. The activity of the lions and the animals and just the atmosphere, like going through there late at night, just made it seem so much more intense. It just made it that much better. It was by far 10 times better than any time I've ever ridden that ride. What were you going to say, Dan? Dan, you there?
Yeah,
Bob,
no.
You disappeared on me.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. I was going to say, based on your recollection when you took it at night, was it the same exact track or was it hard to tell with the different lighting and being dark at night?
It was the same exact track. Everything was the same. But when you go through there at nighttime, you really feel like you're going through an African safari. Like, know how you watch Animal Planet at nighttime when they're on those night safaris with the night vision?
Yep.
It just feels like, you know, it's the same thing. You know how when you're camping and you're in the woods during the day and it's all no big deal, blah, blah, blah. But then
right.
at night when the campfire's going and all, don't it seem that much more it's also better. Just the atmosphere is better when the fire's going and you're hanging out. And that's the same thing with the safari. And then at the end, when that lion, when he was prancing back and forth, dude, he was nonstop for like 10, 15 minutes. Maybe longer, because our girl just parked there and we watched him. And then when that female lion ran across the rocks and jumped on him and wrapped her arms around his neck and started playing with him, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe what I was watching because, dude, they barely moved during the day.
Right,
so
right.
You got to do the nighttime safari, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
we'll
just
put it on the list.
You describing that is worth it. I mean, you're right. That's almost like you've seen it for the first time.
It was.
Last time.
It was awesome. It was like a whole new ride, and you could hear them going, you know how they just keep letting everybody know this is his territory. He was prancing. Like, it was like, know how I said about the American Eagle at Flights of Wonder? How it makes you could see him. He had his chest out, and he's prancing across the top of the rocks. Like, he's roaring. Like, this is my place. You're entering my kingdom. And it was awesome. Yep, he was just showing off up there. And we loved every minute. We were literally parked for at least 10 minutes just watching him. It was
awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys got to definitely do that. It was like a whole new experience. So what's your three rides, Dan?
Yeah, my three, probably somewhat predictable, but I'm going to do the People Mover, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Soarin'. And I took kind of the same approach as Bob did. I kind of, you know, Soarin' is my wife's favorite attraction as well, and I love the People Mover, so I want to be able to do that. I need to do that to digest all the food I ate all day long. And Pirates, could have been Haunted Mansion. It could have been Carousel of Progress, where I'm right next door with the People Mover. But, you know, I tried to kind of, you know, get a diverse, have diverse attractions. So those are the three I chose.
Well, I'll tell you the three you should have chose right now. I'm kidding. But the three I chose Soarin' for my wife, because I hate the line, and she always wants to do it more than once. And with the new show, we're at Captain's Grill in the morning. We're going to leave there, and then we're going to go ride Soarin' 3 or 4 times in a row. And then we're going to leave there, and then we're going to go back to the boathouse, have a good time, you know, eat our lunch, the whole nine yards. Then we're going to head over to the studios, and I'm going to kick her butt on Toy Story Midway Mania. And then she's going to say, if we did it again, I'd beat you. So we're going to go right back on and do it again. And then we're going to do it again. And I want to beat her multiple times and not feel bad about it because that's my game. And then after that, when it's all said and done, we're going to go back to the Magic Kingdom. And we're going to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train multiple times because you can't get on it. And we're just going to get on that and really get into it because we're going to ride that 3, 4, 5 times in a row and really check out everything that you can, because how often would you get to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train multiple times in a vacation?
Yeah, not many, because you're right. The lines are still pretty long for that, and without a fast pass, you're looking at 90 minutes for sure.
So, yeah, so no, we have to...
That's a good call, Doug. No, that's a good call, Doug. I didn't even think of that. I even made a comment on a recent show where I said, I still can't get a fast pass for that ride. And Mrs. All in WADW's never experienced it. I went on it once with my son and his now wife. So I mean, that would have been one that could have been put on the list. Soarin', especially now that it's got the new movie, I've only experienced it once. I'd like to go on it again. There's just so many things that I could have included. Toy Story Mania was one of them. That's one of the reasons why Mary was so upset with my list, because I had Rock and Roller Coaster on it, and she doesn't like roller coasters. And I said, you know, if I got to be true to myself, and I had to pick between Toy Story and Rock and Roller Coaster to ride over and over over again, I know it would be Rock and Roller Coaster because I've done that. So I just was trying to stick with what I knew that it was that I liked.
Yeah, see, me and Brenda are both very competitive. So after we get off, and if I beat her or she beats me, we want a rematch immediately. So it would be awesome to be able to go on that like 5, 6, 7 times in a row. And how cool would that be? I mean, I'd probably, my carpal tunnel would be really off the charts, but it would be awesome to just go right back on with a rematch on that. And with the reason I picked Seven Dwarfs is because once I'm tired of riding that 5 or 6 times in a row, then I can walk right on to the TTA because I know I'm not waiting in a line. I can go over to Pirates. So the reason I picked the things I did also is I know I can still get the other rides in. See, I cheat.
Yeah.
I don't believe for a second that you don't ride Toy Story Midway Mania and let Brenda beat you.
No, I do not. I've never let Brenda beat me at anything ever. That's how we roll. We can play Rummy, and I will beat her at Rummy as many times as I possibly can.
That is horrible, horrible, horrible.
No, the girl has never once gotten a car without me holding the door. She never goes more than a half hour if I'm in her presence without me telling her I love her. I take care of her. She's my angel. She's my everything. But when it comes to competition, I never cheat, and I never let anybody win. And that's just how I am, and I'm a sports guy. I grew up playing sports my whole life, and that's how we roll. My godson has never won anything since this age. He's been 5 years old against me, and I'm still not able. I'm going to be 50, and I have no plans on anytime soon letting him beat me in anything. That's just how I am. So that's it in a nutshell, Bob. Then that's the truth. And
so,
he ain't answering me.
No, I'm answering you. You just said that you're very, very competitive. Let's talk about the poll now.
Yes. Tell me what you think that happened that didn't happen.
If we're going to segue to the table service poll, I know you guys covered it on the show on Sunday, but we did finish the last of the 4 parks up top for the table service poll. And I wrote in the article that announced the winner that there is a quite a bit of consistency and results over the years with regard to the winners that we've seen. Dennis, you had asked on a recent show, for instance, if Tusker House was a repeat winner. Well, it was.
Right.
And, you know, the same's true of Be Our Guest and also 50s Primetime. Epcot's a really interesting park. And part of it's because I believe, at least, there's just so many table service venues that it's almost a free for all which restaurant can win on any given day. And the first time we ran the poll for Epcot, Le Cellier won. The second time we ran it, Via Napoli won by a pretty wide margin. And now on this recent poll, Rose and Crown did turn up victorious. And you know, what I want to point back to is when we ran the poll last in 2014, the very same four finalists competed in the final round. Beergarten, Rose and Crown, Via Napoli, and Le Cellier. It was a repeat this year. And, it's a credit to the popularity of those four restaurants and the great job that they do in serving guests. One of the things that I've said in the past, and I think I heard you guys say on Sunday, is it's really interesting to watch the polls as they unfold. I go back many times throughout the day just to see how the voting's going, mainly because of curiosity, but partially because if there is a clear-cut winner, I honestly can get a head start on writing the post for the next day as to, acclaiming one of them the winner. I have to be honest with you, this past poll, the final round, it was impossible for me to do that. I had to write it essentially. In fact, I drafted a good chunk of it, did the, the history lesson, and I had to change it.
Awesome.
By the time everything was said and done. So kudos to Rose and Crown. I think Doug knows it would have been my choice. But it did come as a surprise to me because I felt it was going to be another Via Napoli Le Cellier battle.
I think the podcast had a little bit of influence on it. That's all.
And truth be told, there's some of that, but I got to be honest, if I'm going to, and I know that John was a fan of Beergarten. Mm. If I'm going to pick one of those four, I'm more likely to pick Rose and Crown or Beergarten than I am Via Napoli or Le Cellier.
Yeah, well, mine would be Rose and Crown, Le Cellier, Via Napoli. I mean, the Beergarten and Via Napoli are tied. All four are great restaurants, and I enjoy all four of them. So, but Via Napoli would be four for me, actually. Beergarten would be third.
The moral of the story at the end of the day, though, is the cream always rises to the top. And if you're going to have a friend or a family member come to you and say, hey, we're going to be in Epcot, where would you recommend we eat? If you recommended any one of those four restaurants, they're going to have a great time.
Absolutely.
Not that they wouldn't have a great time if you recommended Coral Reef or Nine Dragons or any of the other venues that, didn't do as well in the polls, but if you really want to recommend something to them that is going to just has been enjoyed by so many guests, those four pretty much, sum it up.
Now, and I like St. Angelo's Inn too, but I'm the exception on that one. I know you guys aren't big fans of that, but I've had a lot of really good meals there for lunch.
I mean, I like the atmosphere and the decor. I just, like I told you before, Mexican food isn't high up on my.
You got to get the mahi mahi, and you'll be okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'll do that. It's more Americanized. It's not. You're getting seafood. So that and it isn't the enchiladas or anything like that. You understand what
right.
I'm saying? Then it's more of you would enjoy yourself if you got the mahi mahi or one of the fish on the menu more than the other options is what I'm – that's what you should go for next time you're there.
Give it a try.
So, Bob, why did you think it was rigged? Oh, I didn't think it was. You acted like, who's Pat Jannetty? Pat, I will give you what for next time I see you. Pat's trying to say I rigged the whole thing, and he wants an inquiry on everything and the whole nine yards. I didn't do anything but be my charming self, and all my buddies and friends out there came to my call, and they voted for the Rosen Crown for me.
For all we know, some like fan group of Rosen Crown got hold of the fact that this poll was going on, and jumped on board and started all voting in mass. I mean, it is a popularity contest, and it depends on who it's reaching out to. I mean, I know for a fact because it lost
the semifinal to to Le Cellier. It finished second in its bracket in the semifinals.
Right, and I've seen that happen before too. I mean, I think it was the very first year that I did favorite attractions polls. Haunted Mansion and Splash Mountain beat each other's brains out. One of them won Best in Magic Kingdom, but the other one won Best in Walt Disney World. So I cannot wait
to see the attractions. They're going to be seated right this year, Dan. We're doing it with Bob.
They're coming soon, and I'm going to seat them myself.
No, we're helping you. No.
We're all in this together.
No, you have to. We did a good job seating the food bracket, so we're. I can't wait for the rides. I'm looking forward to that.
They're coming soon for everybody that participated. And really love the opportunity to vote. What I'll tell you is that the attraction polls are going to start coming soon. We'll start with Animal Kingdom, go on to what's left of Hollywood Studios. Then we'll cover Epcot, and we'll do Magic Kingdom last. The WDW poll will actually be time to end around NCAA March Madness Final Four weekend. So, I mean, it's between now and sometime in early April, we're going to start digging into the attractions. And along the way, we still have to go back and pick up the best of the parks table service polls. Toss them together and see if we can come up with favorite WDW parks table service. The parks together. It's going to be the culmination of the polls. It's going to be the king of the table services in the parks.
You know, we have to get the Rose and Crown kids back together again to finish this off then. I'll have to take a picture with my Rosen Crown hat on and post it for some publicity to get the votes out.
There you go.
You know, but no, I'm looking forward to that, Bob. I mean, I enjoyed it. The polls were very good. I'm glad the cream did rise to the top of the crop. And I don't know. We're going to have a good time with the attractions. We're going to have a good time next year with all these polls. And one of the things we ought to do is maybe in the future do best dish. Maybe from all the signature restaurants, some of the best dishes we do a poll.
Yeah, we can drill down a little further with kind of, just picking the restaurants and, talking about ambiance and overall satisfaction. But, yeah, maybe some of these more popular ones that we've frequented, many times we can actually get down to talk, maybe, put dish against dish
Yeah, Le Cellier Filet against Bangers and Mash. I'm in.
Yeah. That'd be some fun discussions for sure.
So, but that's going to be it for this week, guys. I really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun. It was a nice Tuesday show. I didn't rant too much, did I, guys?
No.
I actually got one comment on Twitter. There was not enough ranting tonight.
They don't even know yet. They haven't heard the show. No, but this has been a lot of fun, guys. Please head over to It's All in WDW and check out our website. Bob does a phenomenal job. I don't like to tell him this, but I have to because I have to publicize the show, give a little publicity. But, Bob, yeah, keep up the great work. I like your articles. Even when you put Le Fin de Mon on there, I'm still okay with it. But
I did that for you, Doug.
Yeah, it was all heart there, buddy. But anyway, check out It's All in WDW. You can also find Bob on Twitter at It's All in WDW. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. You can find John, we missed him tonight, over at The Weekly Pint and at Beer Solo on Twitter. And you can find us all on Facebook and Twitter at WDW Main Street. Have a Merry Christmas, guys, and we will talk to you real soon.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Merry Christmas.
In our hearts.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy